Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Lance Dees. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'd like to welcome you. And we see a whole bunch of boxes up here. We're just getting ready. These are Operation Christmas Child boxes, and they are going all over the world to kids. And we said that today is our deadline, so we won't accept any tomorrow because we have to take them ourselves to the depot. So why don't we just take a moment and raise our hands towards these boxes. And Lord, whoever receives these, God, would they just be blessed in Jesus' name. Father God, they're going to kids all over the world who have none. And Lord, we just pray, God, that this would just be a token of the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that Billy Graham Ministry, Operation Christmas Child, walks behind and they teach about the path of Jesus and the cross and salvation and the birth of Christ. And God, would you just anoint every single man and woman who goes into these towns and villages throughout the world and brings forth the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. In your name we ask it. Amen. Just a quick announcement again before we get started. The Montana District has called for a corporate district-wide, Montana-wide fast on Tuesday from 12 to 1 o'clock. We are going to be praying for Lance Lanning. He's a minister who has some kind of a health issues. We don't know what it is. He's been in the Mayo Clinic for like 6 weeks, I believe, and they just cannot diagnose him, and his health is failing rapidly. Many of you would know Lance Lanning. I know he's spoken here before. And we need to lift him up in prayer and just pray that the Lord finds what's happening, or even better, sets him free and touches him. Amen? Amen. So that's Tuesday from 12 to 1. People from all over Montana are going to be lifting up Lance. So we've been walking through the book of Jonah. And this is our last week doing it. We're on chapter 3. And it's like, well, there's 4 chapters in Jonah. Why is this our last week? Because of next week, we need to get into our Christmas message just to make sure that the timing is all right. And so I'm going to be kind of focusing on chapter 3 this morning, but we're also going to sort of dip a little bit into chapter 4. So I think that chapter 4, the end of it with Jonah and the worm, that is such a great story. It'd be great homework for us just to kind of press in a little bit and learn about what God has been showing us there. But I want to do a brief recap of last week's message. We had a couple of three takeaways last week. And the first one was how important it is to connect with the Lord. He is with us. No matter what we're facing, God is with us, and he's for us. So it's really important for us to have that deep understanding of who God is. Number 2, the power of perseverance. Perseverance is so important, and I really believe that the Lord is releasing that over the North American church. Just stand in that place where it's like, God, no matter what is happening, I trust you, and Lord, help me to be able to get through this. And number 3, the power of worship. You know, when we're in that time and we're in that dark season, just to be able to press through in worship, to be able to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, for the Lord's deliverance is near, and we need to celebrate that and walk in that. But if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Jonah chapter 3. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles set out this decree throughout the city. No one, not even animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garment of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. What a powerful chapter. This is a chapter really of love, a chapter of grace, a chapter of hope. Verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. I think we just need to pause there for a moment. With hearts of thanksgiving, that God is a God of second chances. Amen? People, come on. God is a God of second chances. Because if he wasn't, I tell you, I wouldn't be here today. God has given me second, third, fourth, fifth chances. And he's really, it says in Psalms 40, he lifts us out of the muck and mire. He places our feet upon a rock and makes our footsteps firm. God's love for us is immense. He gave Jonah a second chance. He gave Peter a second chance. Remember when Peter denied Christ three times? The last time he denied Christ, he wanted to be perfectly clear that he didn't know Jesus. So he curses him. We see this in Matthew 26, 74. That he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't even know this man. And immediately a rooster cried out. Even though he blatantly swore and denied Jesus, Jesus comes to him and says, Peter, do you love me three times? And the last time Peter responds in John 21, 17, a third time he asks, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked a question a third time. He says, Lord, you know everything about me. You know that I love you. The grace of God. It's so amazing. It's so divine that when we choose knowingly, when we walk and we choose knowingly to go in the opposite direction of the Lord, flashing our pride and arrogance in the face of God, he still lovingly restores. I'd like to invite Chris Grinnell up to come and share a story of... Thanks,
brother. Yeah. So Lance asked me to give a testimony about a time when God gave me a second chance. And the thing is, God's given me a lot of chances, second chances, third chances, fourth chances. And that's a testimony really to my failings. But it's also a testament to God's grace. I thought I would share one that seemed apropos to the Jonah story. Several years ago, I was working for a fairly large nonprofit, and my office was right near our IT guy's office. He was an opinionated, sometimes obnoxious, foul-mouthed sort. And he was not a believer. But even so, we got along reasonably well. His name was Jim. And so I worked at this organization for part-time during the week. And the other time that I worked, I was doing my own business, Bearing the Light, which was web development. And I had hired Jim recently to do a little work for me on a website that I was developing. And so I went into his office toward the end of the day to talk to him about this and to get a progress report from him. And so we're talking about style sheets and PHP code and all this stuff. And God really clearly says, you need to pray for Jim because he's really hurting. And, you know, we're talking computer code here. And so sometimes, I don't know if this is true of you guys, but sometimes I act like I'm smarter than God. And so I did that this day. I thought, Jim seems fine. I mean, we're talking business here. We're talking websites. And, you know, so I just kind of pushed that aside. And within a few minutes, Jim's countenance flipped 180 degrees. And he started confessing all this kind of ugly personal stuff to me. And it was clear he was struggling. And I just stood there because I was dumbfounded, first of all, that Jim could switch the conversation so abruptly, and two, that God had already told me about it. But the thing is, you know, when God tells you to do something, it's not only what he tells you, it's when he tells you. And I chose not to think about the when part. And so Jim and I are still talking about the stuff that's going on, and in comes Jen, another worker there, and needed some IT help and stuff. And so I excused myself since I didn't have anything to contribute to that conversation. So I went back to my office, and then Jim was not alone for the rest of the day, and then he left, and I left. And I went home just feeling terrible. I mean, you know that feeling when you haven't obeyed. You know, God doesn't shame or guilt us, but, you know, that feeling I had when I was just, man, I just blew it. I need to obey right away. But, you know, God is a God of second chances. And my second chance came a little while later. I was doing my work. Jim was leaving early that day, and I was trying to wrap some stuff up and do stuff that was due. And God spoke to me again and said, "Go ask Jim if you can pray for him." And it's like, all right, well, this is a second chance. I better listen. So I got up. I went into his office. He was packing up, getting ready to go, and I just made an interruption for him. It wasn't a great time, but it was the time that I needed to obey. And so I went in, and I asked if I could pray for him. And Jim, he was, to say he was unexpecting that would be a vast understatement. He was quite taken back. But he said, sure. And so I prayed for him, and honestly, I don't remember what I prayed, but at the end of it, he was almost in tears. He was so overcome. And weeks later, he would keep bringing up my prayer and how much he appreciated it and how much it made a difference. And from that moment, our relationship kind of changed. From that point on, he had my back. He was my greatest advocate, and he it was right before Christmas, and he said before I left that he's gonna start going to church on Christmas. I said, "Oh, wow, okay." And by the way, God answered my prayer, and everything worked out for Jim, and God took care of it, and. And I was just struck by, you know, sometimes you only have one opportunity, and sometimes God gives you more than one. And I was just so blessed that I could make a difference in Jim's life and bring honor to God. And that's what ended up happening because of the second chance.
So maybe you're here this morning, and you know what? You're just wrestling inside right now, and you're like, "Lord, I need a second chance. I've fallen, and Lord, I just feel like I'm so far away from you." That's you right now. We're going to have prayer at the end, but I just really wanted to take a moment and just speak into that. Lord, I just pray, God, that, Lord, this is your service. God, whatever you want to do, we give it to you. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. And I just think that this is really dear to your heart because, Lord, you shared the story of the prodigal son who walked away and just in arrogance chose his own way over what the father had intended. And, Lord, his arrogance led him to trouble and it led him to disaster. And then, Lord, he just figured that he would give up his sonship. And, Lord, he would come back and just be a servant for the rest of his lives. But Lord, you had other plans and restoration was your plan. And I just pray, God, that Lord, you would just bring forth that spirit of reconciliation and that spirit of restoration. God, there's the lie of the enemy that says, you know what, you've gone too far. God's done with you. You've fallen too far. You can never be redeemed. And Father, I believe that your arms are open right now. And you're saying, come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Come to me. I want to restore relationship and bring forth that spirit of reconciliation. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. So, verse 3, this time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. Nineveh was a massive city. In fact, the Lord tells us in Jonah in chapter 4 that Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. The Bible tells us that it took Jonah 3 days to see the city. The Lord said to Jonah back in chapter 1, if you remember, in 1 verse 2, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I've seen how wicked the people are. So its wickedness had become such a stench in the nostrils of the Lord, it really became another Sodom and Gomorrah where things were so bad that the Lord's like, I am wiping this off the face of the earth. Have you ever wondered how Jonah was able to speak back in that day to over 120,000 people in just 3 days? He didn't have printing presses. He didn't have a team of people go ahead for a year and prepare the way. He didn't run ad campaigns and have TV ads or put it out in the radio that this was going to happen. In fact, when we see these big events happening, we see like an event in Spokane or Denver or something like that. And if 5,000 people show up, that's a success. 10,000 people, it's like, whoa, there's 120,000 people in this city, or if not more. You know, as I was reading it from different commentaries, different commentators believe there's around the 500,000 people in that thing, in the city. But yet, verse 4 does talk about the 120,000, so I went with that number. But the Bible doesn't tell us how he went and did this, how he was able to communicate to so many people in only 3 days. But I believe spending 3 days in a fish would have altered his appearance. My guess, he would have had to look maybe ghostly, maybe freakish. A spectacle in the city. You know what? Just imagine him in the belly of a whale in the gastric juices. I believe he would have had absolutely no hair. It would have been burnt off. And his skin might have been a yellowish or a whitish color. And this guy starts walking around the streets and people start talking. Have you seen this guy? He's going around the streets like, no, I got to see that. People love the freak shows, don't they? And people are drawn to that. And then finally it gets to the king. Can you see that conversation with the king? Hey, king, there's this guy who's walking around the streets and he looks kind of freaky. Well, what do you mean? Well, he kind of looks like a ghost. He looks like a ghost? Yeah, he's white, but like an off-white. he's bald and... You got to see him, king. I don't know how to explain it, but he's talking about a message from the Lord that the Lord is going to come and destroy the city of Nineveh. What? I got to see this guy. Bring him before me. I don't know how the message got to the king, but we know that it did get to the king. In verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from the throne, took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat in a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from the herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. Can you imagine that message going out today from President Trump? Nation, my fellow Americans, I believe the Lord has spoken and he's calling us to a time of repentance. For 24 hours, no one is to eat or drink, not even your animals. Man, I think people would go nuts. Wait. What do you mean? You want my puppy not to drink for 24 hours? Absolutely not. And it would be chaos. Yet people believed the message from the Lord and they repented. Man, I see such a powerful connection, a correlation to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will restore their land. My friend, our land needs a touch. Revival is bursting within my heart. We desire for every one of our people to go through RISE, to understand that we are abiding in the vine, that God is our authority, to be able to walk in that place where we have relationship with God. We have intimacy with God. That's why we're doing Hearing God courses. That's why we're walking in Set Free and getting ready for an Empower retreat. We're walking in what God has for us. Why are we doing this? Because I believe that we've seen so many revivals that have happened throughout the world where people, it's just so exciting and people fly from all over the world to go to see what God's doing. Yet all of a sudden, after a few years, it just goes dead because they can't sustain it. How do you sustain revival? By people who are understanding and pressing into the passion of Jesus Christ. By people who have hearts, not just to see an immediate, quick response, but to be able to walk in a commitment for the rest of their life, knowing that God is our everything. That is what we desire to do. We desire for our people to walk in such an intimacy of the Lord that there's not that leaking container that when the Lord does his outpouring, it can hold that. It can sustain it. It's not just temporal. I believe the Lord is asking us to press into revival. He's asking for us to be able to step into an outpouring of His Spirit, to humble ourselves and pray, walk in repentance, ask for a divine touch of God. Lord, would you do it again? God, we desire revival. Our next prayer summit is November 25th. Mark that down in your calendars. It's going to be the last prayer summit of this 2018 year. And our prayer summit, the Lord has just put it on my heart to pray for the Gallatin Valley, to be able to press in for revival, to be able to declare that, God, we need you to do it again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. God, that's the cry of our hearts. Heal our land, God. Every prayer summit is different. Our focus in this one will be confession, repentance, and intercession for the valley. Lord, we need your touch. Can you play that video, JT? On your calendar, we need together as a corporate body come forth in repentance, walk in that place and say, God, there are the lost out there, God, and Lord, they need to find you. They need a fresh touch. Verse 10, when God saw what they had done and how they put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction that he had intended. So God sees the heart of the city. He hears the cries of repentance. He sees that doggies have not drinking for however long. And he holds back judgment. My friends, this is the heart of God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God loves our nation. God loves the Gallatin Valley. Lord, have your way. Chapter 4, this change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry, so he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? This is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people, so just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. Now remember in chapter 3 how it took Jonah 3 days to walk through the city? I believe that God set Jonah up for that. What are you talking about? See, God is God. He could have done whatever. He could have just, Jonah could have said the word to the whole city. Maybe something happened and the whole city was there. Whatever. God could have established it. But he gave Jonah 3 days to walk through the city. How many thousands of people would he have seen in that 3 days? Have you ever gone down to the Christmas walk? There's thousands of people there. Do we go to the Christmas walk and do we just kind of do the stroll and forget that God loves every single face that we pass by? I think something happens. You know, to be transparent before you this morning, I really do hate crowds. It's just, when you're walking through people, like, just move. It's just irritating for me. And the truth of the matter is, I think it's irritating for me. And maybe I need to spend some time on our prayer summit in repentance. Because everyone who irritates me is God's kid. And Jonah had 3 days to see faces, to be able to connect, but he missed it. And when all of a sudden the Lord holds back his judgment, Jonah loses it. God, I knew you were going to do that. Remember, this was Jonah's enemy. He didn't like them. They were at odds. That's why he didn't want to go in the first place, because he knew what God was going to do. And when God did it, he's like, I knew you were going to do that. Maybe that is why Jesus reminds us in Matthew 5:44, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, for it's easy to love those who love you, isn't it? You know, we have I don't see her in this service. She'll probably be at the next service. But you know Pamela Boyer? I love Pamela Boyer. You know, for a pastor's appreciation, she brought in some fruit for the whole staff just to say, I love you. And every single, when I got accepted as the lead pastor, she gave me a card, an encouragement card. And I'll never forget it, because I opened up this card, and it was like, you know, a card that was like, hey, welcome, we love you, da 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 da, like one of those Hallmark type of cards that it's written on the front. And I opened it up, and you know what it said inside? Honk, honk, honk. That's it. And I'm like, honk, honk, honk? What does this even mean? Who is this from? And I went on this journey to find out who this card was from, and I found it was from Pamela. And I'm like, honk, honk, honk? What does this mean? And she goes, well, you're still in Canada? She goes, you'll find out. And she walked away and left me. But you know, as I found out and I got to know the heart of Pamela, she was talking about, and maybe there's a correlation here, a parallelism. She was talking about Canadian geese. And how Canadian geese, when they fly in a V, the one at the front, it gets the most wind resistant and becomes tired. And the ones behind it honk to cheer it on. And she says, Pastor, I want to be the goose behind you who's cheering you on. And now every single pastor's appreciation Christmas, I always get a card that says honk, honk, honk. And it just reminds me that, you know what? God is awesome. She's cheering me on. But you know what? We also have people in our lives who, well, they're a little more tough to love, aren't they? They're a little more special. We call them grace testers. You know, I had this guy once, and I can't remember. I've told so many stories here. I can't remember if I told you this one or not. If I did, just bear with me. But I had this one guy once, and I was in Edmonton, and we're in the lobby, and service is getting ready, and I heard him talking to some other people, and he was mad. Oh, he was mad. And he's like, you know what? My wife is in the hospital, and not one pastor went and visited her. And I overheard him, and I said, hey, man, I overheard what you're saying, and that's not true. He goes, what do you mean it's not true? I said, Pastor Merrill went yesterday to visit your wife. He goes, he did? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. I said, yeah. So I said, so are we cool? He goes, yeah, we're cool. I said, okay, bless you, man. He goes, do you know what you just did? I'm like, what? He goes, you winked at me. I'm like, yeah. You know what the Bible says about people who wink? I'm like, no. He says, well, you should. You're a pastor. I'm like, man, can you give me the verse so I can look at it? He goes, no, look it up yourself. He goes, but it means you're evil. You are an evil man, and I don't want you to do anything. I don't want anything to do with you. I'm like, well, if you excuse me, I got to go lead worship now. And I walked up the front. All right, people, you ready? You're going to have an evil man leading you in worship this morning. Are you ready? Let's just, you know what? Let's just skip worship because I suck. I am evil. I shouldn't be here right now. And I was just like, man, it just affected me. And as soon as worship was done, I made a beeline for my office and I Googled winking in the Bible. And I found winking in the Bible is in Proverbs. And it basically says, this is the Lance Steves translation. It basically says this, that if you see somebody do wrong, and you like stealing or something like that, and they see that you're looking and you wink at them and you don't do anything about it, that you're just as guilty as they are. You're the same as that wicked person. So I'm like, that's totally not what I did. So I went back to him. I said, hey, listen, I looked at your verse and I said, here it is. And I read it. It's in Proverbs. I said, here it is. And I said, I'm not wicked. It says that if you do evil and I just wink at you and I don't do anything about it, then I'm just as bad as you. And, da, 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 da. And he's like, no, it doesn't. It says that you're wicked and you're a wicked man and you need to repent. I'm like, okay, whatever. And he leaves. And then he doesn't come back to the church for 3 weeks. And then he comes back on the third week and he says, he makes a beeline for me. He goes, do you notice that I haven't been here in 3 weeks? I'm like, yes, thank the Lord. He's like, I'm leaving your church. I said, okay. He says, because you're wicked, but unless you want to go for coffee, we can talk about this during a coffee. I'm like, I don't want to go for coffee. Listen, I explained to you what it meant. I said, if you really think I'm wicked, you can talk to the Lord. I said, man, I make mistakes all the time, but yet I believe that the Lord loves me and I'm redeemed. So the choice is yours, man. If you want to hold on to a grudge for that, that's between you and God. You know what? When I left that church, they asked me to come back maybe about 8 years later and speak. And I came back, and that guy was there again. And he made a beeline for me after the service. He says, do you remember me? And you know what? I'm bad. You know, he goes, do you remember me? And you know what I did? I go, sure do. Sorry, I'll be praying about that in prayer summit, but there's some in each one of our lives who we have a conscious decision. Do we want to hold bitterness or do we want to say, God, help me to love them? You know, people are different. They tick differently. But yet God requires us to love. And Jonah missed this. There's times where people pop into my head and I start to think, man, you know what? Those guys, man, what jerks. I just can't stand them. And I start to entertain these thoughts in my mind. And then when I catch myself doing that, I quickly quote scripture and say, God, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Lord, would you help me not to wallow with a victim's mentality? But Lord, help me to choose love, which covers a multitude of sins. God, I have no idea where this person is, what is happening. But Lord, may I not be that stumbling block. Lord, I choose to bless them. And when thoughts start going into your mind, you know what? I still don't like so-and-so or this guy here. Man, every time I see them, it just burns me with anger. Can you choose love? Can you choose just to overlook that and just say, God, you command me to love my enemies. So, Father, help me to do so. Our takeaways this morning. Whoops. Our takeaways this morning, as we close out our series on Jonah, is not this. Number one, the Lord came a second time to Jonah. Again, perhaps you're here this morning and you're not walking with the Lord. He's calling you back to his presence. He desires that none shall perish, but all walk in relationship with him. Would you just walk in that place that God is calling us? Would you lay down your rights and your heaviness and just say, God, I choose you. Choose you this day who you'll serve. You know what? I'm going to actually call up the prayer team. Just come on up here and stand now. And in a moment, we're going to just stand to our feet and enter in worship. But if that's you this morning and you would like prayer, would you just come up and join our prayer team? We would love to pray for you. Our second takeaway is perhaps the Lord is stirring your heart to pray for our nation, for our president, for our city, for revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will restore their land. Don't give up. Persevere in prayer. Man, some of us have been praying all of our life for revival. And it's just like, God, is this just filling up on deaf ears? I just believe that that bowl is getting so full. And the Lord is ready to tip it out. But our role right now in this church is to learn who God is. To walk in intimacy. That when that rush of people just come in and fall on their face before God, and signs and wonders start to follow those who believe, like the Bible says. We start to see that kind of stuff happen on a daily, weekly basis. That our relationship with God is just so deep and so intimate that is the most important thing. Don't give up, friends. Persevere in prayer. November 25th, prayer summit. Every 6 weeks, we have prayer summit. 6 o'clock. Come on out. Pray. And number three, perhaps like Jonah, deep inside you have resentment and bitterness in your heart. Jonah had to learn the hard way with that tree and the worm that happened a little bit later on. But we can simply bypass all that pain and just say, God, I lay down my rights. Because there's people in this room who've been hurt deeply, and you have every right to hold on to bitterness. But when we freely give that, when we freely say, Lord, that person hurt me on an intimate, deep level. But God, I want to release them this morning from the prison, God, that binds. And God, I choose to let them go. Your spiritual walk is going to go to a whole new level, because now the Bible is so clear. It's one of those scriptures that honestly I don't like. If you don't forgive others, I can't forgive you. God, I have so much. When I stand before you, Lord, I thank you for the grace that you've given me. And Lord, may I show others the same grace, God, the same freedom. Lord, if there's anyone that I'm holding prisoner, I choose to open up the door and let them go. Help me do that, God. So if that's you this morning, we just want to pray for you. I just invite everybody to stand to their feet now. If you'd like prayer, come on up at the front. We'd pray for you. If you kneel up at the front around the altar, nobody's going to bother you. That's a sign that I just want to spend some alone time with God. Leave me alone. But if you'd like someone to agree with you in prayer, there's power in agreement. We'd love to pray for you. We still have a few moments left, so let's just press into the presence of God this morning and choose what he has for each one of us in this room.